Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. It is Thursday, August 4th. We've got a couple of great topics that are timely for us today. Talking about our missionaries. Have you thought about being a missionary before? Perhaps you've had questions about, well, how do we care for our missionaries, especially during times like this where we have questions of civil unrest or terrorism or outbreak of disease? How do we care for them and their families? How do we care for missionary families during, whenever we have an idea of what might be happening or for the unforeseen things that happen as well? We'll talk about that today with our staff from the Office of International Mission here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And in the second half of the program, how to prepare for college. How do you prepare that student, or if you are a student, how do you prepare for that freshman year of college? What's that one thing needful? Well, how do we help our students hear the Word of God during those important college years? We'll talk about that as well with Pastor Zill from LCMSU and one of our campus pastors as well. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. You can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin on our website, kfuo.org. Look for the CUW logo. Joining me in studio today, Christian Belke, Director of Missionary Services for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Office of International Mission. Christian, welcome.
Thank you.
Glad to have you in studio. It's been a while since you and I've had a chance to visit in studio and talk about what's going on with our missionaries. What is missionary services?
Missionary services. It's a good question. It's kind of an all-encompassing term mm-hmm. that we use to describe the overall care for our missionaries, what we can do from the States, from logistical care and support to health care, down to any ongoing needs, you know, as you mentioned before, you know, whether it be evacuations, traumatic events, various situations our missionaries can find themselves in. Missionary services role is to support our field staff, our regional directors, our regional business managers in providing whatever care needs our missionaries have out on the field.
Now, how do you keep track of how many missionaries do we have out in the field that that you help serve?
Well, we have approximately 150 between our career missionaries and our geo missionaries. But more importantly, beyond that, we also have spouses, accompanying spouses and children. So we're actually looking at providing care for around 400 people on the field currently.
Wow. Now, how do you keep tabs on all these folks and make sure that they're doing well, that they're getting the care that they need? You know, in my mind, I'm picturing like Mission Control, Mission Central, and you put tracking devices on all our missionaries, and you've got like this GPS map in at your desk, and you just see where all the missionaries are and everybody's health status at the time and everything. No?
Not that easy. You know, we do have a big magnetic whiteboard that we use. Where we do generally track which region are our people in. Are they home in the United States or are they out on the field? We rely heavily on our regional offices to assist us if we need to track someone down. But generally speaking, you know, we use that board as a way of understanding where people are. And we make regular phone calls. We field regular information from our regional staff. And in a number of regions, we have specific missionaries who've been called to assist with care on the field. So Deaconess Ellie Coro makes regular contact with that individual in each of the fields and finds out what assistance can be had, who do we need to call and check in with, what's needed. So that's one of the ways. I've had the opportunity recently to visit a couple of the regional gatherings and spend some really critical time face-to-face with our missionaries, getting to know what their needs are, what struggles they're facing in the field, and then can kind of bring that back to my team and say, here's some adjustments we need to make and some ways we can care better for our people.
We have missionaries serving all over the world.
We do.
And you mentioned we have regional offices. What are those? How are we divided into regions when it comes to our missionaries?
Yeah, we have Latin America and the Caribbean, Eurasia, which is basically Europe and Russia and Turkey out into the east. We have Africa, which is kind of divided into West and East Africa. And then we have Asia. So
all those regions, then those regional offices keep in touch, and they are on the ground really more staying connected with those missionaries, making their rounds and visiting with them.
They do. Yeah. They do. They make regular face-to-face contact. There's visits. There's pastoral care, which, of course, is a key component, mm-hmm. Not only in care, but missionary retention as well.
How does technology help you stay in touch and communicate with missionaries in order to make sure that their needs are being met?
Yeah, technology certainly lessens the cost, if you will, as opposed to relying on traditional phone systems, which can not only be very expensive, but also unreliable. A lot of countries around the world where we're working have fast internet. So we're able to mm-hmm. use FaceTime, Skype, other means of that to actually even get some face-to-face time with those missionaries rather than just relying on phone calls.
And it's my understanding in some parts of the world, rather than building a whole infrastructure of landlines, phone lines, they've gone straight, jumped that generation and gone straight to wireless connectivity. And so, for example, in many parts of Africa, is my understanding that mm-hmm. you know it's not uncommon for folks to have mobile phones, cell phones, yep. rather than a yep. landline.
Absolutely, and that has changed the dynamic of connectivity mm-hmm. around the world. But as you pointed out, especially in West Africa, we have seen that where they've made the jump right to the cellular signals and the
right.
You know,
why invest all the money in old technology?
Yep.
How does, are there places where there are certainly limitations on technology and staying connecting? You know, do we have missionaries in places where it's pretty limited in terms of technology, so it's hard to stay connected with them? And how do you communicate? We still using snail mail?
There are some places where it is limited, although in many of those places, they can get to some email communication or other phone communication at some point. Sometimes limitation has more to do with government restrictions than mm-hmm. it does the infrastructure. In some of the closed countries we work in or some of the places where the government can, at the turn of a hat, just shut down social media or shut down certain avenues of communication. So having some backup plans, having contingencies of how we're going to communicate and, you know, worst case scenario, having plans in place so that they know what to do in order to get in touch with us.
Let's walk through that process of becoming a missionary and preparing for life in the field as a missionary so that we have a better idea of how one is equipped, how a missionary is equipped for life in a new culture, and then I would say unforeseen circumstances, but I'm gathering we probably prepare for a variety of scenarios in some sense, or we prepare them. So they go through the recruitment process, they learn about becoming a missionary, they've received a call to serve or an appointment to serve as a missionary, now accepted that. Where do they go from there? What's the next step?
Sure. And if I could point out, I think often the journey begins even as young children when they encounter missionaries mm-hmm. Who have come back from the foreign field and who've planted that seed. And so that journey begins very early and continues. Missionary Services picks up the journey once they've accepted a call and they've said, you know, yes, we're going to go and serve in this place as you've called us to do. They come to St. Louis for a 2-week orientation. And the emphasis of that 2 weeks really focuses on the support raising, going out to the congregations, building a network of support, mm-hmm. Not just financial support, but that network of people to pray for them, that network of people to send them emails of encouragement when they're feeling down, those types of things. We do get into the theological aspects of mission and begin to prepare them for that, but that is a continued learning thing. We begin to prepare them for how to care for themselves and their family. In the last few orientations, we have involved doxology and their organization in beginning that process of preparing missionaries. 6 weeks after they leave here, when they're in the midst of traveling around a grueling schedule, doing something they're not accustomed to doing, we bring them back for a two-day doxology event where the focus is on, again, continued care for themselves and for their family, and hoping that the tools that they're gaining there will also help them in that transition when they hit the field. There is culture shock in many ways throughout that process, and it's not just, you know, 3 months in, it's going to be for everybody a little different, and may continue to hit. And then you add on top of that the potential for traumatic incidents while you're overseas. And, you know, we want to continue to provide them tools, you know, to support them and their families.
What are some of the incidents that we've looked at that we need to prepare missionaries for?
Sure. There are medical emergencies, ranging from, mm-hmm. you know, simple to complex. With the number of children, we have nearly 200 children on the field. We have had incidences across the board from severed fingers to, the common cold, all that. Making sure that the health, insurance is in place. Should the need require evacuation, how do we go through that and support them in that process? That's, some of the health things. Recently, there's been an increase of terrorism around the world. The Islamic State has tried to make a plea for attention, and we've seen that over and over again. And while we can't prevent things, how do we respond to that? How do we adjust to those situations, prepare our missionaries to be watching for that and how to respond to that?
And how do you balance this, being alert and watchful with being fearful? You know, how do you balance that? How do you approach that so that they can still go about their work that they've been given as missionaries, whatever their duties might be as missionaries, so that they're doing the work and not living in fear, but yet still, wise and alert?
That is a challenge, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's even for us here in the United States. We have seen, terrorist attacks on our own soil. How do we go about our daily lives? We take comfort in the Word of God, and no matter what happens to us, we cling to our baptism. We cling to the hope of eternal life, the promise of forgiveness of sins. That's what takes us, through the day and on our next steps. I can't predict what's going to happen to me or to any of our 400 people that are out on the field. And so there is that constant encouragement to look to Christ for that comfort in the midst of suffering, in the midst of pain, should something terrible happen. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, God has given us a brain to use. So we use that to assess the dangers that may be around and to take necessary precautions, against those dangers. And knowing we can't prevent everything and being ready to respond, mm-hmm. should a crisis occur.
How do you... Obviously, we know that the local missionary and the regional directors are probably watching for watching to see what's going on. How do you stay on top of all that's going on? I mean, this is a crazy world in which we live, and how do you stay on top of what's happening in terms of terrorism or civil unrest mm-hmm. or the outbreak of a disease mm-hmm. or another health crisis?
Part of my daily routine actually is to call through numerous email lists and things from an organization called Red 24 to some connections that we have through the State Department, in particular the Overseas Security Advisory Council. We have recently joined that, and I'm connected in with the faith-based organization working group. And one of the blessings of that is there are faith-based organizations working throughout the world who come together and share kind of this security and safety information about incidents that are going on. And I combine that with, just the regular State Department warnings and other sources of information that I have to monitor, what's happening in the countries where we have people working.
So that's a lot of information to to go through on a regular basis and maintain? How do you decide? How do you make a decision? You know, that we need to move someone, missionaries need to evacuate, or we need to watch this more closely.
Yeah, there's constant communication, again, with our regional director, regional business manager, local staff, missionaries in a particular location, as well as the leadership here within the Office of International Mission, providing information. And really, that's my job, is to say, here's information, you know, you guys do with it as you see fit. Let me know how I can assist and support. So sometimes it is overwhelming with the quantity of information, because there could be incidences in a number of regions throughout the world, some of it which require action, some don't. And again, there's multiple pieces of input, so that it's not there's no single person making a decision on what to do next, but really a group think tank, if you will, and trying to make a decision about what's next.
I would think some might have a question. Do we have missionaries that are in harm's way right now, or, you know, in the potentially very near future that something needs to be done?
There's always that possibility.
Everybody is, right?
We recently, you know, we did have work going on in Turkey, and in light of the recent coup, after a number of conversations and assessments of the situation, the decision was made to, at least for the time being, move our people out of Turkey, get them to safety, give them an opportunity to kind of recoup and deal with the traumas of that incident. And that kind of, you know, brings up two other pieces. Even in that situation, our emergency evacuation company was prepared, should the situation require it, to provide armed escort to the airport. And it wasn't needed. Turned out we didn't have to go to that extreme, but we had pieces in place, should it be needed. and really the follow-up to that, anytime we have a traumatic event, we have a great partnership with Lutheran Counseling Services of Florida, and we provide opportunities for our missionaries to use those resources and to receive counseling and support that we can't necessarily provide ourselves, but just a wonderful partnership with them.
So they could receive counseling, I'm gathering, like via Skype or phone or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, that's very reassuring, you know, to hear that service is available for, both of those services are available for our missionaries, so that they can go and do the work that they're given to do, and do that, you know, without being burdened by, you know, what's going to happen to me if this happens or if this happens. They know that the rest of their brothers and sisters in Christ at home are praying for them, you know, back in the States, and also looking out for them and ready to provide for them should the need arise.
Absolutely.
How, during that missionary training, are there specific scenarios that you talk about or prepare them for during that training?
We don't typically get into specific scenarios. Mm-hmm. We talk very generally about, you know, crisis management and preparation, in terms of, if you're not in a crisis, you're preparing for one, right? as a parent, you know
work.
What that's
right.
Church work, parenting.
That's right. How many times are you going to have to wash the car seat cover? Exactly.
Yep. So, you know, we talk in broad general terms. One of the things that I've had the opportunity to do when I go to visit the regions is to dive into more of the specifics. And it's an area we're still working on, you know, increasing the resources we have available. There are a number of organizations within the United States that I've contacted through the Overseas Security Advisory Council who provide additional resources and training. And we're looking at, you know, what can we provide within a reasonable expectation that doesn't create more fear, but provides them with additional resources to be aware of the risks around them? Because, you know, as you mentioned before, it's a fine line, and we can pretty soon start to see everything as a risk, and that creates fear. We can have confidence in the work that we have been called to do, but we want to provide proper tools.
Now, I know I jumped right to all the stuff about, you know, terrorism and civil unrest and disease and things like that. But we have missionaries all over the world and in a lot of places that are relatively calm and not a lot of major risks pressing for them right now. How would you describe missionary life for those families who are serving in so many places around the world?
Even without the threat of a major disease outbreak or, an immediate imminent terror threat, you still have the challenge of adapting to a new culture, mm-hmm. Working with a new set of people, both, you know, those who are native to that country or your fellow missionaries. You are working in a new system. It's not the local parish. It is a different structure and system. So there are a lot of different cultures, if you will, that, mm-hmm. that are a shock to the system. Those present daily challenges. The devil is out seeking to destroy the work that is being done. And our missionaries have to face that on a daily basis. And they need our prayer and support, as much as anything.
How do many of our missionary families go about educating children when it comes to school or education for their children? What are some of the choices? I'm sure it's different in every place mm-hmm. where we have missionaries. What are some of the choices that they've made in terms of education for their children?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with a large number of children, that's a great question. There are some who use local schools, some who use international schools geared towards expat populations. And there are a large number of our missionaries who are homeschooling as well. And that homeschooling could include a combination of online education, if they're in an area where they can get the necessary internet connection, in combination with providing, you know, homeschool curriculum materials mm-hmm. and working on it at home. So, you know, wide variety of things that we see out there. It's probably about at least half of them who are going the homeschooling route right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know it, you know, in times past when there were a large number of missionaries to get, well, I shouldn't say large, but a significant number of missionaries together, some places even had schools specifically mm-hmm. for missionary kids. Do we have a group of missionaries anywhere that would really, you know, necessitate or make that a worthwhile effort?
I think as I am trying to think through, you know, where we have people, there are large numbers of children in certain places. Mm-hmm. And I think there's cooperation among those who are homeschooling, but no schools per se that we're starting or, mm-hmm. or thinking of starting for those children. And again, in a lot of places, they're taking advantage maybe of other even mission agencies who have planted schools and started that for missionary children.
If you're going to be a missionary, be a part of the community, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, Christian, this is very helpful. Thanks for sharing this information about how we care for our missionaries. How do we learn more about mission opportunities, you know, and who our missionaries are, how we can pray for them?
There are prayer cards on the LCMS website for mm-hmm. All of our missionaries who work in countries that aren't closed. Those who work in closed countries, we don't post those. So in your prayers, remember our missionaries who are unnamed and who mm-hmm. kind of stay, you know, hidden in that sense. But those prayer cards are all available on the LCMS website. If you search for prayer card, mm-hmm. You'll find them. And I would encourage everybody to do that.
Very good. Christian Belke, Director of Missionary Services, LCMS Office of International Mission. Thanks for being my guest today.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up in just a little bit, how to prepare for that freshman year. How do you as a student yourself, or maybe you have a son or a daughter, a granddaughter, a grandson preparing for that freshman year of college? What can we do to help them? We'll find out. We'll talk with one of our campus pastors and director of LCMSU, Pastor Marcus Zill. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Hypocrisy abounds when it comes to politics, but hypocrisy is never more abundant than during political campaigns. Here's two examples that can't go unchallenged. Emily's List is an extreme pro-abortion group supporting extreme pro-abortion candidates. They've announced a website opposing Donald Trump and labeled him anti-women. This is the same group supporting aborting girl babies solely because they're female. Hillary Clinton, while speaking to the NAACP, said, "We cannot rest until we stop the killings of African Americans." But Hillary supports Planned Parenthood that targets women of color for abortion, the leading cause of death in the black community over all other causes combined. Hypocrisy is alive and well in politics.
Follow us on Twitter at Life Issues USA and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
God's word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. To spread its light from age to age shall be our chief endeavor. I'm William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship, inviting you to be sure and join us as we romp through chapter after chapter of the Sacred Scriptures, rejoicing in the salvation that's ours in Jesus Christ. Join us.
Thy Strong Word, weekday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO. Underwritten by Lutheran Heritage Foundation, lhfmissions.org.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on behalf of Concordia Plan Services, Lutheran Church Extension Fund, the LCMS Foundation, Lutheran Housing Support Corporation, Concordia University System, and Corporate Synod, daily reaches out to our members and partners, working together to support our local, global, and international ministries, church workers, and LCMS initiatives at large to carry the mission forward and to serve each other in love. Opportunities to serve, lcms.org/jobsboard.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
Did you know that your individual retirement account may make the best gifts to KFUO? The IRS now allows individuals 70 and a half or older to transfer the required minimum distribution directly to charity and avoid paying the associated income tax. The required minimum distributions may also be used to create a personal endowment fund to provide regular long-term resources for KFUO. If you have questions about using an IRA to make the best gifts to KFUO, call Mary at 314-996-1518. We'll send a representative out to help answer your questions about giving from an IRA and how you can establish a legacy of giving to your favorite radio station, Worldwide KFUO.